Blog Talk Radio.
Possibility of incredible love is all around us if we understand what to believe, become, feel, and experience. Stay tuned. Welcome to my podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, healing through love mentor, somatic body psychotherapist, and health and wellness coach, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. Author of the Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me book series, the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and the life-transforming Love Lessons for Your Soul. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who just keep proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Today's guest, Emerald Sinclair, is a love and manifestation coach who helps her clients to connect with the true desires of their heart, offers them the courage and accountability to follow through and take action on their dreams, and she gives them the practical tools in order to manifest the love of their lives and the life of their dreams. You can find her traveling the world, sharing her wisdom on her podcast, Manifest It All, and creating real-life magic along the way. Listen to my Healing Through Love talk on her amazing podcast. The link is on the page here. And you're going to be invited to join her new upcoming free Unlimited Possibility for Love Summit. So I'm delighted to welcome you, Emerald Sinclair.
Erica, thank you so much. It is my honor and pleasure to be here.
Such a privilege to be speaking with you. And as I was saying to you right before we started, I've had some political conversations that are so upsetting. But when we're talking about love and the possibility for love and becoming more loving, all of that drifts away and it's almost insignificant. So,
you know, it really is, because even the unlimited possibilities for love, when you feel into that in your body, it feels like such an expansion, such a heart opener. Like, truly what we focus on and think about affects us in our body, as you know.
And it affects the people around us. And we forget
yes.
that very often.
So we're all energetic beings. I mean, if you're in a bad mood, I'll feel that when I'm around you. Or if you're in an incredible mood, I'll feel that when I'm around you too.
Yes, just that reminder that we are energetic beings. And I want to mm-hmm. always start these interviews with information about you. Like, as a guest, who are you? What have you learned? What's your unique education, background, training, whatever it is that got you to this point, really focusing on love?
Absolutely. So the initial imprinting happened when I was in high school. My dad was and still is a hypnotherapist, and that's when I first started to learn about the power of the mind of the subconscious mind, where everything is stored as far as our thoughts, our belief systems, our habits, and this is going to impact our reality later on in life. Truly, we are like the iceberg, and the tip of the iceberg is the conscious mind. It's what you see, what you want, what you desire, why you want it, but our bodies are controlled by the 95% of the iceberg that we can't see, the subconscious mind, which is where everything is stored. And so I learned this at an early age in high school, and yet moving forward from there, I had a lot of challenges in relationship. And so that started at this point, I'm 36, so a 20-year journey into studying and researching everything that I could get my hands on. So I have so many certifications, I have degrees, I've studied things that have nothing to do with love, like business, food, health, and nutrition, but I've also studied hypnotherapy, emotional freedom technique, neuro-linguistic reprogramming, studied with some really, really powerful, impactful teachers. I have just been this lifelong student that was prompted by the fact that as a young woman, I wanted love and my relationships were all messy. And then by the time I was 28, I felt like I had really learned quite a bit. And so that's when I actually started my love. No, I started my love coaching business at 30. I take that back. But that's when I actually really started to put it all together and combine all these different tools and modalities that I had learned to help me shift. Because at 28, that's when I had finally attracted in a really healthy partnership. And so I used that as my basis for, well, what did Emerald do in order to shift and call in that type of partner? And then in the last 6 years as a perpetual student, everything I've learned from there, similar to you, you have so many trainings and certifications of all these different ways that I can help my clients to release those subconscious blocks, to change their story, to make themselves available for the type of partnership they want, rather than repeat the same stories, the same types of partnerships that they don't want.
Yeah, and you pointed out something really important that sometimes I've been told by people, you know, are you taking another training? Isn't that too much? As if you're scattered or you're insecure. But it's really that the more different aspects you can bring in and understand, the more you can help your clients. They may have an issue with food affecting their relationships. I mean, you don't know what their issue is, and it's wonderful when you bring in all
exactly.
of that.
Well, exactly, and I'm glad you said that, because I can pull in my food background. I can pull in my yoga background, my meditation, movement, mindfulness. It's all applicable as far as being your best self and loving yourself and being a healthy partner in partnership. It all matters.
So I have a question for you with all that background. Your podcast is all about manifesting love and the life of your dreams. So tell us, what is manifestation? How do we know when we're manifesting?
Yeah, great question. I'm glad you asked this one. So manifestation, we could put that in very common terminology that it is the realization or the actualization of your dreams, of your goals, of your desires. So in the business sense, you might desire to move up the corporate ladder. Well, you could manifest that job. Or you want to have $100,000 in the bank by the end of the year. When that happens, you manifest it. So sometimes manifestation can be a buzzword in the spiritual communities, or it can be a little bit too woo-woo and turn people off. And so I just look at it as the actualization of your dreams, and there is a process to get that. And manifestation includes so much more of the internal work, the mindset work, the spiritual work, that I feel a lot of perhaps goal setting or traditional methods don't entail. They're focusing simply on taking action, which is important, but in my world, taking action is about 10% of it. 90% of it is the internal, the energetic blocks, the stories you're telling yourself, the belief systems that are stored in your subconscious mind.
So that's so important, and that, you know, so aligned with your thinking. So the next question is, how does somebody manifest love and manifest their dreams? Because they think I have to just go to the different places. And even you said it, I manifested the right person. But that's really only because you became this person who could accommodate that and accept it and keep the person intrigued or whatever it is. So talk about that.
Well, and you just hit the nail right on the head, which is manifesting love truly, or manifesting anything for that matter, truly has to be that you are becoming that person. And that's where the internal energetic work is so important, because on the outside, you could say, oh, I'm ready for love. I have a successful job. My house is clean and available for my person. I look nice. I dress nice. I'm well-spoken. I'm eloquent and communicative. And yet love is not showing up in your life. Well, that means you do need to have a good, hard look at the internal, which is, what are the stories you're telling yourself when it comes to love? What was the experiences you saw growing up? What type of relationship did your parents or primary caregivers have? Because that is all stored internally. And so there isn't necessarily a one-size-fits-all approach to manifesting love, which is why my programs are all customized to my clients. But if I had to summarize it for the sake of course, a podcast and our discussion, then the first thing that's really going to be is for a woman to sit down and really be curious, investigate her stories. What does she really believe to be true about love, around partnership, around men, around dating? Because you'll see quite quickly where your blocks to relationship lie. What are the things you're telling your girlfriends all the time? What are the stories in your mind? What are your yeah, buts when you create an online dating profile? For example, I have a client, Jen, where for the longest time, she actually didn't believe men at her level existed. And what I mean by that, men who were financially successful, men who were emotionally intelligent, men who were intelligent, period, men who were willing to learn and grow, and then men that were where she was living. And so she was settling. She was dating men who were safe. She was dating men who, for lack of a better term, were below her. So she knew, like, they were never going to leave her because she was, like, this big old catch and prize. And so she would date men not at her level because she felt safe and she had control and she knew she could leave them at any time, and oftentimes she did. And so the work that we had to do together was shifting her mindset and belief system that she exists, which means her partner exists. And it actually didn't take more than a couple of months of working together for her to start to release these benefits, these men that she was just kind of wasting some time with, to start to change her story and believe, like, well, if I exist, then it's really not so hard to believe that my match is out there. Like, yes, I'm unique, but I'm not that special. I'm not like this crazy unique human being. And so within a couple of months, she was introduced to her partner, John, who is incredibly successful. It's the first time she's ever dated a man that makes more money than her. But not only that, he wants to communicate. He meets her at her level. He's so kind. He's so thoughtful. He's so caring. Their families are meeting each other where they're both at in their lives because they're successful, divorced in their late 40s. And so they're not looking to settle down, get married, move in together. And so it's all these little stories that we're telling ourselves around why it's so challenging, why it can't happen, when the reality is, when you shift those stories, within a matter of months, and sometimes in my clients, within a matter of weeks, the right person steps in.
It's amazing. And it can happen pretty quickly because there's also energy that we forget. We're sending out energy, whether we believe it or not. I always tell people, if you don't believe this energy emanating from your body or anyone else's, sit in a subway car or a bus too close to somebody that you don't want to sit next to, and you feel so much energy there. So we are sending out that energy. So what are the biggest blocks for women that prevents them from manifesting the love that they want?
The biggest block, which I'm sure is not going to come as a surprise based on our conversation so far, is truly mindset. it's belief systems. I mean, there are other blocks when a woman is really too busy in her schedule, the time's a block. When love's not a priority, sometimes her career or her family is a priority at the time, in which case, that's fine. Like, love needs to be a priority to call in love. You need to have time in your schedule in order to make space for a partner. But beyond those, the most common one, truly, that I work with 100% of my clients is the mindset. It's the stories you're telling yourself, whether it's stories from the past, like love is not safe, I had an absentee or abusive father or mother for that matter, and so you might have these old stories around why it's not safe, why men always leave, why you need to take care of yourself, whatever it is, or it might be more recent stories because you have been hurt, you've been hurt multiple times, or just experience. You haven't had a very good time with online dating, probably based on the stories you've heard from your friends. Mm-hmm. And so then you create this new limiting belief system around it. But one thing I can share with you, 100% of my clients, we have to move through stories from their past, from childhood, because that's where that initial imprinting was laid, based on what they saw with their primary caregivers. Because before the age of 7, your mind is completely in a different brainwave pattern, more in a subconscious state rather than a conscious state. And so you don't have this filter that says, oh, mommy and daddy are fighting, it has nothing to do with me. Instead, the young child takes it in as love is not safe, men aren't safe, women aren't safe, money isn't safe, whatever it is. It's like why a small child will believe you when you say the Easter Bunny is real or Santa Claus exists, because they don't have that conscious mind filter. And so now that this information has been, you know, coming out, it's for a while now, but I think it's becoming much more mainstream, then as adults, we have the power to be able to move beyond those stories, to reprogram our mind for what it is we desire, rather than replaying the autopilot programs that were unintentionally and unknowingly installed into our subconscious minds by our primary caregivers as young children.
And it's all so true. And I'm seeing another aspect of this. Yes, you may have certain stories that you've worked through and you get more clear about your background, but there are patterns, ways that you communicate or ways that you behave, and that comes across to someone in a way that may seem not loving. So
absolutely,
you also work with behavior.
I teach a lot on communication in practically all of my courses, because that is going to be one of the biggest breakdowns in relationship if you don't know how to communicate, or maybe it's body language, tone. These are things I've learned throughout the years. And I've also learned, though, that the more I truly slow down, be present, connect with my heart, it actually makes communication a whole lot easier. And at the same time, there are tools and formulas that one can use similar to, gosh, anything you want in your life, there's always going to be like formulas you could use, or tools or hacks or systems or processes. And I wasn't taught any of this growing up. My parents and family were kind of unhealthy, a little bit toxic, let's just say, avoidant, passive aggressive in their communication tendencies. And so when you learn these formulas combined with self-love, presence, slowing down, connecting to the heart, then you truly do become a so much more loving, open, accepting individual. And as a result, you will be in a partnership like that, because you won't settle for anything less, and you attract who you are, not what you want, which is why the self-love aspect of all of my programs is so important. You need to fall in love with yourself and become the type of person that you want to experience in partnership.
All right, so I was about to ask you about self-love. So tell us, how do you know when you're really loving yourself? And how do you know if the person you meet has self-love?
Great question. So I would say how you really know if you're loving yourself is that, for one, you're making yourself, your needs, your desires a priority, your feelings. So you have to take time to have a relationship with yourself, which means what do I want? Like, is my job making me happy? Are my friends contributing to my happiness? And is my exercise, my lifestyle, my food, where I'm living? Like, you really put yourself first and foremost in your life and consider your needs, your wants, your desires, your feelings each and every day. To me, that's self-love. And so it's saying yes when you want to and no when you don't, and not feeling like you owe anybody else. Like, I teach selfishness, which I define as connecting to the self first. So you're not on autopilot. You're not acting out of guilt or shame or should or obligation. It's truly what is best and right for me. And so how do you know if someone else loves themselves? Well, the reality is they're going to have their own life. They're going to have their own friends. They're not going to put you first in everything. And that's not to say that, of course, in partnership, we don't support each other and meet each other's needs. And sometimes we do consider the other person before ourselves and compromise. So I'm not saying that. But when I think about how I guide my clients and going out into the dating world, I would be looking for a person that has a full, rich life, that is doing the activities they want to do and traveling where they want to travel and hanging out with their friends, and they love their job, they're passionate about who they are, they're exercising, they're eating well. I mean, it can be manifested in a variety of ways of what self-love looks like, but ultimately, I think you can tell when someone truly is just happy and fulfilled in their life, and they might desire partnership, but it's not a need, it's not a desperation, it's not my life is incomplete unless I have a partner, it's my life is pretty darn amazing. My life is complete. And I would love to have someone to share in the joy and share in the happiness and share in the travels, but I'm not experiencing lack without you. So I would be looking at, does that person have already a full and happy life? Are they following their heart, following their dreams, following their desires? And then am I in alignment with that? Or is he or she in alignment with my dreams and my desires and my life? And so it's not that you complete me, Jerry Maguire. It's two complete individuals that have the same ideas and desires and trajectory, and then they combine their lives, and so much magic is made as a result of that.
You brought up something so important, because I've had several clients involved, women involved with a man who didn't match them really. Either the cultural background was so different and they didn't understand each other, or there was somebody who had an addiction, maybe privately, and it wasn't so obvious, but it was there. And the person, the client that I had, was suffering so much. But if she really understood that her partner was not aligned with her and maybe didn't really love himself, he hadn't worked on himself and done that self-reflection enough yet. So maybe talk about that for a moment. I'm sure you have plenty of clients like that.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's a big part of the reason why I view my work as preventative, because it's so much easier to learn all of these tools and become the best version of yourself before you get into partnership. Because once you get into partnership and you fall in love and you get involved, you don't want to just walk away. You want to learn and grow together. You don't want to give up on your partner. And so it does add another degree of challenge. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. But I can also share with you that I've seen so many relationships transform because one person decides to do the work. They decide to become the best versions of themselves. They don't demand that their partner changes in order to make them feel better. And then one of two things happens. Either the partner sees how much their partner has changed and they think, wow, like, I actually would like to jump on board. I want to do the work. I want to move through my trauma. This person is completely different and that feels really good for me. So I'll have what he or she is having, so to speak. Or as one partner does the work on their own to become their best self, to really love themselves, to honor their needs and desires, to make their life exactly what they want, then it becomes quite clear that their partnership is no longer in alignment. And that's okay too. And so truly, I think the best thing any individual could do, whether they were single or in partnership, is to really focus on how can they be the best version of themselves. And then by being that example of what's possible, of experiencing deep self-love, satisfaction and fulfillment in your life and career, then you will inspire those around you. But certainly don't ever dim your light in order to stay in a relationship because you're scared of losing your partner. I've seen that happen with clients, and it never ends in happily ever after, let's just say.
Yes, because we're here to teach each other. We both learn in relationships. So when you dim your light,
exactly,
you're not helping the other person either. So share with us some self-love practices that people could do right away.
Absolutely. So two of them come to mind. The first one I'm sure you're familiar with, of course, is Louise Hay's mirror work. First time I ever did it, looking in the mirror, I love you, I forgive you, I love you, I forgive you, I love you, I forgive you, thank you, I love you, I forgive you, I'm sorry, you know, just on and on and on until I started crying. And I think it's a really powerful practice that we don't do just once, because we are always, but what I have found in my journey and my clients' journey is when we are searching externally for love, the reality is we can only find it when we first find it within ourselves. And so the beauty and power of this mirror work is you're giving yourself that love that you've been craving and searching externally for. And that was pivotable. That was huge in my journey of giving it to myself and accepting it. Because if I don't believe that I'm lovable, then I will never be able to experience that in partnership. I could have a partner say and do these things to show me love, but if I don't believe I'm lovable, I will not receive it, I won't feel it, I won't see it. And so something as simple as and powerful as mirror work is transformational. So that would 100% be the first thing I would suggest. And then the second thing that I would suggest, okay, I have three things actually. Second thing that I would suggest is to get in touch with your desires and to just start making a list of what you want. And for a lot of women, this exercise is incredibly tricky. Like, they will sit with their pen hovered over a sheet of paper and not know what to write because they don't know what they want, because they've been programmed from an early age to change their actions in order to please others, to not put themselves first. And so when a woman's like, what do I want? This tends to be a blank for so many women. And so I would suggest every day you just sit down and ask yourself what you want and put down little things like, I want a bouquet of flowers, and big things. I want to travel the world. I want to make $1 million. I want to be best friends with Oprah. Like, it doesn't matter how big or how crazy or audacious these desires are. It's just giving yourself permission to dream, to desire, to want more, and then even putting pen to paper is another level of, holy cow, I'm writing this down. So I'm giving myself permission to not only want it, but to write it down on a sheet of paper. And so to allow yourself the permission to dream. And then the third thing that I would suggest on a daily basis would be just placing your hands on your heart at least once a day, closing your eyes and listening to your heart and saying, What do you have to tell me? What do you desire to share with me? What do you desire to experience today? And just bringing your awareness, your attention, your energy down into your big, beautiful heart and connecting in with, I mean, this organ that's keeping you alive. Like, it's pumping in your chest without you even doing anything. And so if a woman does these three exercises every single day, let's just say for a month, I've seen it, like, radical transformation happens so quickly when we just slow down and go within and give ourselves permission to have desires, to listen to ourselves, and to tell ourselves that we love ourselves.
That's amazing. Those three suggestions are just amazing. But I wanted to add something that about the heart, that our heart has 5,000 times the magnetism of our brain. So if we stop worrying about what our brain is thinking and focus on our heart, we attract what we truly want. We use the brain to think about what we want, but when we tune into the heart, we can really attract what we want and really have it.
Yes. Well, I'm so glad you said that, because I view it as the brain is like the transmitter. It's putting the message out into the universe, but the heart, the feeling, is the magnet of what's pulling what you desire to you. And the reality is your brain can talk you in and out of anything. But what I have learned is the heart knows. The heart doesn't lie. When you take the time to connect in with your heart, it speaks the truth. It speaks at such a high, pure vibration of unconditional love, whereas the brain is going to speak based on how much stress you have in your life, if you got enough sleep, how you're feeling, societal programming. Like, there's so many factors that goes into how the brain makes a decision, but the heart is the highest vibration possible, unconditional love. And so when given the choice, or if I'm torn between the two, I will always follow my heart over my brain any day.
Beautiful. And there's one more piece in your teaching and in your work. I mean, there's many more pieces, but one more I want to ask you about. And that is about shifting your energy, because we're energetic beings, and you even said that. And so what does energy have to do with manifesting love, and how do we shift the energy?
So what energy has to do with manifesting love, or manifesting anything for that matter, has to do with the law of attraction, which states like attracts like. So you don't get what you want, you get who you are, which is why some people that have challenges in their life or get up on the wrong side of the bed, it seems to spiral downward, downward, downward. Whereas those happy-go-lucky, optimistic human beings who are positive, it seems to get better and better and better, because water seeks its level, right? So energetically, everything has a vibration, an energetic resonance to it. And so if you truly think about calling in what you desire in partnership, that's why it's important that you are a vibrational match for that. And so focusing on feeling good is one of the most important things that I always suggest to my clients. Like, how do you raise your vibration? How do you shift your energy, your feelings, your emotions? This is going to be different for every single human being. For me, it's dance, it's music, it's exercise, it's walking, it's yoga, it's handstands, it's traveling, it's driving a car and listening to my favorite songs, it's laughing with girlfriends, it's going to shows. I mean, there's so many ways that you could raise your vibration and shift your energy. And I have an exercise that I suggest to my clients called the love list, which is brainstorm as many things that you can think of that you love and put them down on a sheet of paper. Anything that raises your vibration, keep adding to it every single day, so that when you have those days that you're down in the dumps and it's hard to think about shifting your energy, you can pull out this sheet of paper and try certain things on the list. And I even actually, as soon as last week, I was traveling, I'm still traveling, but I was visiting friends, and they have two young kids, and as I'm sure you can imagine, kids take a lot of energy, a lot of attention, and as much as I love them, by the end of the week, I was starting to feel a little sad, a little crotchety, just like not myself. And when I felt into it, I realized, oh, I wasn't giving myself enough alone time, enough time to recharge. And so in the mornings, I started going for walks by myself in order to reclaim my energy back to me. And so that in and of itself raised my vibration. It wasn't anything big. It was just me realizing I needed more quiet time, more alone time. So when you shift your vibration, when you raise your energy, you attract at that level. And so that's why it's important that the self-love piece of putting yourself first, what do you enjoy to do, being selfish, connecting to yourself first, is so important, so that when you truly are happy and living your best life, that exudes a certain energy, a certain confidence, a certain attraction, a certain magnetism that men and women alike are attracted to. And it doesn't have to be sexually, but just who is that person? Why is he or she so happy and so light and so magnetic? We're attracted to that. But then furthermore, it's good to feel good. Like, I'm telling you, I'm giving you permission to live a life that makes you feel your best. And a beautiful side effect of that is you will attract in a partner who is also living his or her best life and incredibly happy, and then it's just magnified by the two of you together.
That's so beautiful. All right, we're coming toward the end, so I want you to have enough time to share with our listeners two things. One, all about the upcoming summit, Unlimited Possibility for Love, and the other is to share about your podcast, Manifesting It All.
Yes. Okay. So the podcast, Manifest It All, is all about, so all stands for abundance, love, and life of your dreams. And I talk on a variety of topics. I bring on guest experts just like you came on the podcast. And we just dig into all concepts in regards to how do you live your best life? How do you manifest your best life? It's not just one thing. It's everything. How are you happy and fulfilled in your career, in your finances, in your body, in your relationships, in your intimate relationships? And so every single Wednesday, a new episode drops for the Manifest It All podcast. And then the Unlimited Possibilities for Lasting Love Virtual Summit, we start on August 1st. And there's 30 experts, including you, my dear, including Dr. John Gray, who wrote Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, Ariel Ford of The Soulmate Secret, and plenty others, like, for example, Mike Adams, who's the number one online dating coach in the country. And so I've got 30 different experts that I've interviewed / they are giving their TEDx-style talk on stage to help women. And that's not to say men can't show up. We target women, and I find more women tend to show up to these things, but ultimately to help women raise the bar in life and love, to manifest not only a fulfilling, satisfying relationship, but also the life of their dreams, because it's everything. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to pick the relationship over the career or the relationship over the body. You truly get to have it all. And so it's a combination of world-renowned experts and speakers who are teaching on concepts like self-love, manifestation, communication, healthy partnerships, and then also some beautiful examples of couples and men and women who are embodying what I believe it means to have it all spiritually, emotionally, financially, within their relationships, et cetera, et cetera. And if anybody shows up and watches even a fraction of the interview presentations, I promise you they will have their lives completely transformed, because it's not only just the teachings, but the energy. We calibrate the people's energy. And so it's not only the words and the teaching, but it's a being around these people, even through the computer screen or the phone. Like, people are feeling you and I right now just by listening, and that will change and raise their vibration. I hear that all the time from my clients and viewers and listeners, that they feel different just after listening to me, and they haven't even implemented anything. And so with the summit, it's going to be 30 experts, and then I have 3 bonus interviews that are designed to help you change your mindset around what's possible for you, and then to take action so that changes actually happen in your life and it creates lasting change, hence the Unlimited Possibilities for Lasting Love.
Wow. It's really an exciting summit, and your podcast is exciting. And just if you could very quickly, very briefly, because we're really short on time, I don't want the episode to suddenly end. So please just share a last minute thought that you would tell our viewers, our listeners, you know, to help them in their process.
That your desires are right, your desires are sacred, your desires were placed in your heart by the divine. And so as often as you can, get out of your mind, get out of the shoulds, get out of the outside opinions, and connect into your heart, because I promise you, your heart-based desires are meant to manifest in your life. But you need to slow down and listen to your heart, and then have the courage to take action to manifest what you hear.
Wow. Emerald Sinclair, you are amazing. You really are a living example of unlimited possibility for love and manifesting it all. You're an example.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, my dear. It was a pleasure to be here and to share.
Yes, it's delightful to speak with you again. And to those of you listening, I'm your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, drericagoodstone.com, browse the site, lots of videos, articles, audios, lots of stuff there. And if you want, sign up for a session. I would love to speak with you. And some courses there too. So in the meantime, just take care of yourself and find your unlimited possibility for love. It is available.